Welcome to the Northfield Candidate Show, an in-depth conversation with the people running for office in Northfield in 2024. Today's guest is mayoral candidate Adam Gebler. Here now are your hosts, Joe Moravchik and Rich Larson. Good morning, and welcome to KYMN Radio's Election Coverage 24 programming. This is the fourth program in a series leading up to Election Day this November. I'm Rich Larson.
And I'm Joe Moravchik. Tuesday, November 5th is Election Day in the United States. That's 116 days away. A primary will be held on August 13th, and that is only 33 days away. Early voting, allowing Minnesotans to either vote in person or by mail, has already begun for the primary and will begin for the general election on September 20th. At stake this fall are elections for president, U.S. senators, U.S. and state representatives, city officers such as mayor, judges, and school board members. This program will invite local candidates into the KYMN studios over the next several months to discuss their backgrounds, what drew them into politics, what the pressing challenges are that they see in our society, and what their goals are to meet those challenges.
Today we're talking with Adam Gebler. This spring, Mr. Gebler announced his candidacy for Northfield mayor in the upcoming election, and he now stands among six others in the race. Adam Gebler, welcome to the KYMN studios and KYMN's 2024 election coverage.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for being here. You've never been on the radio before, you told us. Is that true?
That's correct. This is my first time.
So. Wow. See, this is cool. We're breaking the seal here. That's good. Okay, Adam, there are, I think most of our, you're new to politics. So I don't think many of our listeners know much about you. Would you tell us about yourself? Tell us about your background, your education, your job, all the things.
Certainly. Well, I come from all over, bounced around a lot as a kid, and I got to see a lot of this great country and actually got to live around the world for a good bit. About 10 years ago, I was getting ready to settle down and start a family, and looking at everything that I knew from all my travels, I realized that Northfield was the place that I wanted to come to, and came here with my wife and settled down to have a couple of kids. And it's been fantastic for that. My educational background is Illinois, mostly. University of Illinois, UIUC, and went there for my undergrad and grad degrees. Studied to be historian and librarian. I worked for Carleton and Olaf for a brief stint. And I found my way into working in the fine wine world. I'm a wine distributor by trade. It was always something that kept me occupied and kept me interested. It's a beautiful time to get to talk and get to know people and talk over a beautiful glass of wine and help other people explore what is a infinite amount of depth you can dive into.
Are you a wine expert? Do you have one of those crazy palates that I can't even begin to understand?
No, it's all training and knowledge and a bunch of words you probably can't pronounce, but yeah. I am indeed a tier two som.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that meant, but that sounds really impressive.
You said you had ties to Illinois. Is that where you grew up?
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Freeport, Illinois was a town that I got to go through middle school and high school in, and then down to Champaign-Urbana for college.
And you also said you're a world traveler. What's the history behind that?
Oh, I have family from Guam to Europe. I've lived in Germany, I've lived in Hawaii, lived in 10 different states here, and have not gotten to see a whole lot of Africa or Asia yet, but got to see a lot of the world, and I plan to keep on traveling.
Was that military with one of your parents or what?
Not exactly. My father joined the Army at 55.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You can do that?
He's a physician, and he wanted to.
Interesting.
He was very fascinated by the idea of people who were going to Afghanistan and Iraq on a service tour. So he joined at 55 to go, and he did two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan, a couple humanitarian tours in Honduras and Central America.
Wow.
Just a stellar human being to look up to.
Wow. Yeah, sounds like it.
Interesting. Holy moly. Adam, we're all aware of our party system in the United States. Party politics will be on display, including at the summer conventions, for the next 4.5 months leading up to the November election. when running for mayor, do you have a party affiliation? And then explain any pros or cons to having or not having an affiliation.
I do not have a party affiliation. I believe that there are many things that are aligning with both sides of the aisle. To be a little more particular, I am very happy that Northfield does not have party affiliations for its mayoral candidates. Mm-hmm. National politics are good for the national level, and local politics need to not be as divided by national issues. There are wonderful things we can take a look at for fiscal conservancy, and there's wonderful things we can take a look at for social progressivism. That is my particular combination. I think we can work towards being as welcoming and inviting and progressive a town as possible while balancing the budget. That doesn't allow me to align with any major party in and of itself. But the good news is, in Northfield, I can be both.
Hmm. That's true.
This is new to you. How do you campaign for a mayoral election? Take us through that and tell us how it's going out there.
Well, it's really going fantastic so far. I'm running into a lot of great support from the people I talk to, and Northfield is a fantastic town for being able to express different ideas and hear different ideas and finding common ground. I love that this town is so diverse in its opinions, and as long as you have a welcoming ear and you're willing to listen to different opinions and find the commonality, people are happy to share. That's largely how I started my campaign. I did not come into this with the intention of wanting to be mayor. I never had that personal ambition. But in talking to what I thought would be common sense ideas and ways that I thought we could make everyone happy and find common ground and compromise, I just started getting a grassroots sense of support and enough people in my circles that wanted to encourage me to run for this office, that's how I got started. My campaign has largely been to get to know more people and listen to more opinions and listen to as many diverse ideas as I can. And when I do hear someone who wants something very radical or very different from what other people are saying, I just ask them about how do we find the compromise? How do we work towards that common goal? And I give my best opinion on what I think would make everyone most happy, or finding a way to lead towards what would be best for most people. And when I knock on doors, when I talk to folks, they're willing to compromise. They're willing to work with me. Hmm. So that's my general campaign, is just listen.
You're listening to election coverage of 2024 on KYMN Radio, AM 1080 and FM 95.1, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. I'm Rich Larson. My co-host is Joe Moravchik. We are talking today with Adam Gebler about his bid to unseat Rhonda Pownell to become mayor of Northfield. Adam, put it out there just bluntly, why do you want to be mayor?
Well, as I said a moment ago, I have no personal ambitions. I'm not seeking a great seat in this city that is a wonderful city. I just feel that I have a lot to offer. I'm doing this out of a sense of duty. There's a need. There is a strong need for us to have common sense, to have a compromising voice that wants to keep working towards many of the great goals that we've set out over the past decade, but to do so in a way that doesn't overstrain the population. And I have not found that there's anyone else who's really willing to find that middle ground. And when I've tried to discuss compromise, when I've tried to talk or with council members, or tried to even just listen to the current council as it's having its meetings, no one seems to be able to push that agenda of finding that ability to keep moving forward whilst making sure that our tax base is not overly burdened. It's a delicate line to draw, and from what I've found, from what I've been told, I am the person that can bring that balance. I'm the person that can find that way forward for all of us. if there was more balance to be had, I probably wouldn't be running, but I feel that that's needed. It's been called for, and it has not been heard.
Is that the major challenge you see to Northfield in the next few years, or are there other things too?
The biggest challenge that I see to Northfield is we need to support families, and we need to support families with children that would want to form a life here. I was having a great conversation the other night talking about how much longer are we going to be able to have people that say, I grew up in Northfield, that this is my hometown. Mm-hmm. If we don't have housing and taxation that is reflective of wanting to support families with young children to put through our school system, to grow up here, to call this home, at what point does the town start to die out? So the biggest challenge for me is going to be moving forward with many of the great ideas and wants that have been laid out. Northfield wants to be a wonderful town with many amenities and great services that are offered, and we shouldn't lose sight of that ultimate goal. But doing so in a way that really makes the town affordable for those on a fixed income and those who are just starting out in life.
Adam, you introduced us to your work history here in Northfield. What experiences in your professional life have prepared you to be mayor?
Well, I'd say that being in sales and being in leadership roles before, I have gone through all sorts of project management history, through Eagle Scout, ROTC, mm-hmm. all the fun stuff like that. I know how to organize and move forward on a project and on a plan. I can make sure that we can hold to a budget. I can make sure that we hold to a timeline. I know about project creep. I know about budget creep. I fear that some of those things are not being given the consideration that they are now. I can hold us to project standards and make sure that a project and a budget that are put forward include the buffer zones for that necessity. Moreover, though, I think my biggest part in my history of sales and business management, and also in having five kids, is I know how to listen to many different screaming voices all wanting something different, and finding the answer that needs to be done, and finding the compromise between people with very different and very strong opinions to move forward on a common goal. If you're only going to listen to one side, you're not going to be fair to everyone. And if you're only going to move forward with your idea, you're not going to be able to have the support of the people you need.
Does that mean you expect to be all things to all people, or are you going to, well, tell us, I mean, what does finding compromise and middle ground mean to you?
Once upon a time, I heard a great answer that if everyone walks away equally mad, I know I found a good compromise. There is an element of truth to that, but I've found that if you can help the people you're talking to dig down to the kernel of truth that they really want, the most important piece, there's a lot of times where we're not fighting against the kernel of truth. What we're fighting against is how you've built up the way you see to move forward for that kernel of truth. And so if I can help someone or help the different groups walk through how we get to a compromise or make sure that we defend the element and they can understand and listen to that, I have heard them and I know what the crucial piece is, and I'm going to defend that crucial piece while moving forward, defending someone else's crucial piece at the same time. We're a lot more connected than you think we are. And there may be big opinions and big preferences in this town, but we're all common sense people. And if we know that we're all working towards the betterment of everyone else, most Northfielders are willing to compromise.
Okay, here's another tough one. So does that mean you come in without an agenda? I mean, do you have your own ideas about some of the things that should happen in Northfield?
I'm coming in willing to listen and willing to adapt. I think that it's important to say that I will make policies based on needs as they arise. One of the big problems we're facing right now is that our agenda was set 15 years ago, almost 20 years ago. And there has not been enough willingness to adapt to new factors such as COVID and inflation and everything else that's going on here. We're still pushing through with a 2-decade-old agenda. I want to stress that I am willing to adapt to situations as they arise. My agenda, however, is to prioritize. I've said this again and again. I want to prioritize. We need to make sure that housing and education and public safety take first and foremost. Everything else can come after those.
Okay. What are the major differences that you see then between yourself and Mayor Pownell?
Well, as I just said, I think that there's a lot of pushing forward on an agenda that was written a while ago, moving forward despite the input of the needs of the community, with the petition for the bike lanes to be reconsidered, not scrapped, just reconsidered and looked at. With that being ignored the way it was, there's a need for someone who will be more responsive to the immediate calls of the people. I think that there is enough dissenting voice in this town that the council meetings should include more dissenting opinions, should have that voice represented in the council members, and at least have a time to be aired out with our representatives. If you go and you talk to the people on the streets, you're going to find that there is a lot of different opinions that do not get voiced at the council meetings, that do not have their moment to be heard and to be considered. It's an agenda that's being pushed forward without all opinions present. So I think that I can certainly bring a way of balancing all voices and making sure all voices are considered, not just pushing forward with my voice.
We're with Adam Gebler here on KYMN. He's running for mayor of Northfield. Adam, one of the common themes from the mayoral candidates during recent candidate forums is that the Northfield city government is not responsive to the citizens of Northfield. The rhetoric is that City Hall does not listen to the voice and will of the people and follows its own agenda. A couple of examples that you just briefly mentioned: the protected bike paths that are going to be constructed in a couple areas of town, and taxation. Years of double-digit tax levies, including the potential for a 19% increase in 2025. What's your perspective on this criticism of City Hall that it doesn't listen to citizens? How are you going to fix taxes?
Well, that is a heavy question. Let me try to unpack that a little bit. For the bike lanes, as you said, I did just touch on them. I think that there is a need for good bike transportation availability in town, and I would not say that we shouldn't have bike lanes. I live near Heritage Drive that is being torn up for a third time in 2 years.
Yep.
They tore it up. It was in fine order, and they put in a bike lane that where there already was a bike lane, and they tore it up again. They put in another one last year, and they're tearing it up again this year to re-pour it again. I think that re-pouring the same road 3 times when it wasn't in disrepair is not the way to move forward if you're trying to be conservative with your spending. We can have bike lanes on the roads we need to repair in places where we're already tearing up the concrete and the asphalt. We don't need to be redoing it because we want to have a directed bike path. We will get to having bike lanes on most roads eventually, but we can do it in a smarter way that is not as tax heavy. To tackle tackle the issue of taxes in a broader sense, I came from a town that drove away most of its major industry. We had 2 major industries, Honeywell and a tire plant of Kelly Springfield, that were major tax contributors to the town and major employers for everything. The city continued to spend and spend and eventually drove away the industry that was helping to keep the town afloat. That was driving the lifeblood of the town. And as a result, the bonds that were already taken out by the city needed to continue to be paid, but now they need to be paid without that commercial tax base. And it drove the town of 25,000 to being a town of 19,000 within just a few years. It was a horrible economic downturn that the city did not have any contingency plan for. I think that we're on path here to to set ourselves up for failure if we do continue to move forward on these double-digit tax growth. It's not a way that we can have sustainability for either our people or our commercial industry, and it will not attract any commercial business to our town if we have these tax raises coming through. That being said, I think there's a lot of great programs that we can put on a back burner. We can defer until we have paid off some of the other programs we have going on. And we can work on saying, when we have the tax base, when we have the commercial industry, these will be major projects we want to fund. That they are not viable when it requires a double-digit tax increase year over year. Just a few weeks ago, I was at the council meeting where they were voting on the ice arena. And despite having our taxes increased significantly already, this new ice arena, with everything else that's planned, without any deferments, our taxes are set to go up another 57% over the next 5 years. That's not viable. That's not sustainable. Some projects have to be deferred.
And I'm just getting back to the industrial commercial tax base. For as long as I've been paying attention to city government in Northfield, there has been talk that we have to increase our commercial industrial tax base. You actually just touched on it just now. It has to be a priority at some point because that's the single best way, well, in my opinion. It's a very good way to shift a lot of tax burden away from resident property owners and balance things out a little bit. What is your plan to increase our industrial commercial tax base?
The plan would be twofold. First and foremost is you can work towards increasing your commercial viability and how you entice commercial industry to come to your town by increasing the availability of workers for that industry. If we have housing that is affordable for young working class families to come on in and set up shop and put down roots, that they're not going to be transient, they're not going to be living 6 months or a year at a time in an apartment building, but really they've set down roots, a commercial business will look at that and they'll say that having an established community of people who are viable employees for my business that will be there for the next 10, 20 years because they have kids in school and the family is established there with a 30-year mortgage, that is very attractive to a business. We need to have housing and infrastructure to support families that will eventually be working for this industry. And that is a big way we can support not only our residential tax base, but also attracting to a commercial base as well.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I would say that we need to make ourselves available if a commercial industry would like to come here with land and infrastructure ready to be established. That does not mean already established. A similar example from the town I came from, there was an $11 million commercial park that was put in to try to attract industry to the town of Freeport. And that was an error because all that was built in with everything poured, all the utilities set in place, thinking if you build it, they will come. No businesses came, and an additional $11 million was put on the residential tax base for a very fancy parking lot on the outskirts of town. So while we need to be ready and have a plan established with lots picked out and knowing what it would cost beforehand for any business that would want to come on in, we cannot build it until we have a business that wants to come in. But we can have that plan ready to go, take out the documents, show it to them. Here we go.
You touched on housing and as an important way to attract industry, which I agree with. But there's a code there that Northfield hasn't seemed to crack yet, right? We need what they call workforce housing. We need those houses in the $200,000 realm that nobody seems to want to build anymore. Because the developers don't make money on it. How would you work with developers to get them to build the housing that we need in Northfield.
So a little while ago, I told you that compromise comes down to finding that kernel of truth. And I think that it's equally applicable here, where our kernel of truth is we need the workforce housing. And a developer's kernel of truth is they want to build high-dollar homes to make money off of. We can come to the table, both knowing and representing our kernel of truth, to say to a contractor, you build for us a portion of what you want to build can be workforce housing, and we can be ready and able to help you or be easier to work with for building the kind of top-dollar housing you want to build. We can both walk away with what we want if we compromise. Northfield has this reputation with developers of not being the easiest town to work with. And I think that if we find the developers that are willing to compromise with us on building the workforce housing, we can be the kind of town that is ready to work with them to help them earn some money on other housing they might want to develop. It takes that compromise and being very forthcoming about that compromise to be able to do so. Anyone who just says, well, we're going to find a developer, there has to be a developer that's going to build it, they're lying to themselves, and they might be spitting into the wind at that point. If a contractor or a developer is willing to work with us to build the housing we need, we can work with them to help them make some money too.
It's been a week or two since the Northfield City Council approved a partnership with the City of Dundas, the Northfield School District, and the Northfield Hockey Association that will build a new ice arena in Northfield. Give us more perspective on this project. It sounded like you might have been concerned about the tax burden on our citizens. So talk about the ice arena and even perhaps the redesigned riverfront project or downtown square that's in the works here as well.
Let me begin by saying, ultimately, I believe that an ice arena will be good for Northfield. And my concerns with how the project is moving forward currently should not be confused with me not wanting an ice arena. To that end, my biggest concern is hidden costs and unsecured financing. So the Northfield Hockey Association is on the line for $2 million. They only have pledges. They don't have cash in hand. I don't doubt that they're going to be able to raise that money, but this project should not have moved forward until they had cash in hand sitting in an account. The biggest concern, however, is that the high school is putting in for $5 million, $4 million for the building of the facility and $1 million for the upkeep of the facility for the term of the levy that the school is putting in. When the citizenry was told about the ice arena, they were not told about how that would factor into it. We were only told, hey, it'll cost us $13 million. We're going to get a $21 million ice arena for the cost of $13 million. Ain't that a steal? We need to be upfront. Yes, the money's coming from the school. The school gets its money from us. That needs to be part of the consideration, and we get a complete holistic view of the cost of the project. I disagree with only showing the type of information you want to be shown to get the agenda you want. Mm. I think that if we are more transparent in the total cost for a project, including a buffer for budget overrun, for timeline overrun, and we're given a more holistic viewpoint on how things are going to eventually come down to us as a cost, that's an important thing to be had. The partnership with Dundas is a beautiful idea. I think that more partnerships in order to diversify the cost and diversify the availability is a fantastic thing. I think that public-private partnerships can work if they're written correctly. Private entities are not going to be looking at public good as being a profitable margin, so we need to protect ourselves from profit margins, but they can work if done well. And I think the partnering with other communities and other townships is a fantastic idea.
All right. Adam, on this show, we always like to give our guests the last word. What have we not touched on that you think is important? What did we not talk about?
Well, I think that there's never enough time to go through everything. That's one of the faults of so much to discuss and so much to work on. But I'm very appreciative for the time to be here, and I thank both of you for having me to be able to speak to the people of Northfield, and I'm hoping that they can come on out and come on out on the 13th for the primary in August, and I hope to see a good turnout from all the Northfielders. It's a fantastic time to have as many candidates running as we are. More choices is just democracy in action, and that's what we need to have. The final word that I would like to say is that, again, I want to keep working towards many of the great projects we have. We have so many beautiful plans, and Northfield will continue to grow and develop into a great city. It already is a great city, but continue to build on the next thing we want to do and have a goal and have a vision. One of my favorite quotes that's still hanging up my house is, "A man's reach should exceed his grasp, else what is there a heaven for?" So we need to keep reaching for more. We need to keep striving for more. We just need to make sure we have a solid footing and we are working for the betterment of everyone in town, not just trying to move forward at everyone's expense for the help of a few.
This has been the fourth in what will be a busy election season agenda of programming here on KYMN Radio Northfield this fall. We're going to end our show here. It's been our pleasure to have Adam Gebler with us. Thank you, Adam, for being a part of our program today.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell our audience your catchphrase for your campaign.
Yes. Well, with everyone's different opinions, and with me always trying to find compromise, as I always say, we're all in this together.
Wow. Just it's built in. Anyway, Adam, thank you so much for being a part of this and joining us today. Folks, Election Day 2024 is Tuesday, November 5th. Primary Election Day is Tuesday, August 13th. Tune in to KYMN for local election coverage as we welcome candidates into our studios each week to discuss their backgrounds, their values, their experience, and their objectives should they win.
Our goal for the Election Coverage 24 programming is meaningful, in-depth conversations with political candidates as we all try to make the best informed voting decisions later this fall.
I'm Rich Larson. My co-host is Joe Moravchik. We're on KYMN Radio, AM 1080 and FM 95.1 in beautiful downtown Northfield. Please join us again next week for KYMN Radio's continuing election coverage. Have a great weekend, everyone.